Okay, everybody, workday's over.
This is the best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
Honestly, we should be talking about NC State playing South Florida. We should be talking about North Carolina going on the road, playing Virginia Tech in an important game on their schedule. We could even be talking more specifically about Cam Newton and Mac Jones and the Patriots' future with a rookie quarterback. Is he really another Tom Brady? Because we've heard about like six different times since Tom Brady entered the NFL that the Patriots had secured the next Tom Brady. I have a spoiler for you. They're going to be searching for the rest of football. A player like that does not come along that often. Instead, though, we're still talking about vaccinations. This is where we are as we are on the eve of college football beginning here in the Triangle and about, what now, 10 days away from the Panthers opener and less than a week away from the NFL opener. And this is why. Cam Newton, former Panthers quarterback, was cut by the Patriots yesterday. Cam Newton, due to the protocols that he has had to endure with the Patriots, we know he's not vaccinated. Bill Belichick yesterday did not explain why he cut Cam Newton. So many people, ourselves included here at the OG, you could surmise, look, Cam Newton had COVID issues last year. Not his fault, obviously, or most likely not his fault anyway. He ends up really suffering last year, and so do the Patriots. They missed the playoffs. Come back this year, doesn't get vaccinated, missed 5 days of practice while he's in a quarterback battle with Mac Jones, who, by the way, the Patriots took with their first-round pick. So Bill Belichick answered questions today about Cam Newton. And in true Belichickian fashion, well, this is what we got.
Did Cam's vaccination status have anything to do with him being released?
No. No, I mean, look, you guys keep talking about that. And, you know, I would just point out that I don't know what the number is. I mean, you guys can look it up. You have the access to a lot of information. But the number of players and coaches and staff members that have, you know, been infected by COVID in this training camp who have been vaccinated is a pretty high number. So I wouldn't lose sight of that.
That was Bill Belichick today. Let me start with a couple of things here. Number one, to his point, he said you can look it up. Jonathan Jones, CBS Sports did, and he'll join us a little bit later. The unvaccinated players have tested positive at a rate that is seven times of the unvaccinated players. So Bill Belichick is a math guy. I shouldn't need to explain that to him. To his point, though, my own father is vaccinated, ended up testing positive for COVID. The Delta variant really does not care. I think we should all recognize that. Let me get my dad's age right, 78, though, he did not end up in the hospital because he was vaccinated. So that is the point, people, if you really want to go that route, Bill. The point is to protect the portion of the population that is susceptible, particularly the elderly, to ending up in the hospital so that they don't die. And I know a lot of people are using, well, look at the death rates as if that it should be the standard. Understand when we talk about COVID and vaccines, there is a difference between the public at large, and we could save that for another program, and when you are part of a sports team. We are all hyper aware in this area of what happened to NC State's baseball team. One win away from playing for the national championship, they were kicked out of the College World Series because of COVID issues, too many positive COVID tests. If you're a team on any level competing, why would you want that to be your fate? Why would you want your season to end that way? Why would you, in the NFL, where they are literally fining, not only they're not fining players, they're withholding their game checks on both sides. So when you start messing with people's money, that should be enough of a reason. But when you talk about it in a competitive situation, like, I can't believe I'm about to say this. I don't know how many games Urban Meyer is going to win this season, but I much prefer Urban Meyer's answer yesterday when he was asked about when he was making the cuts for the 53-man roster for his first Jacksonville team. He was asked, hey, did it come into play that some of these players were vaccinated and some of them weren't?
Could you share with us whether a vaccinated versus unvaccinated player had an impact on a roster decision?
Everyone was considered. That was part of the production. What's his, you know, let's start talking about this. And then also, is he vaccinated or not? Can I say that that was a decision maker? It was certainly in consideration.
So Urban Meyer, you're telling me, understands this better than Bill Belichick? Or is Bill Belichick doing the thing with the media that he loves to do, knowing that the Jaguars had to walk back Urban Meyer's answer from yesterday and basically say, oh, no, that's not why we did it. And the NFLPA is now putting on this perfunctory investigation into what happened. But the bottom line is this. It's a competitive advantage to get vaccinated. There are a small percentage of people who are allergic or would have an adverse allergic reaction to the vaccine. Very small. There are others who probably could use a religious excuse. Of course, it probably is just that, an excuse. Probably not valid at this point. But we're still talking about a small percentage here. I can't believe that Urban Meyer is ahead of something that Bill Belichick isn't. Like, I can't believe those words are coming out of my mouth.
It can't be real, right? There's a 3D chess thing Belichick's doing, or Urban stumbled upon something correct.
Listen.
Is it a blind squirrel finds a nut thing?
Here's the other thing, and I know people talk about football, talk about sports. Okay, I hear you. But we just saw this summer what happened. That's what we're talking about here. And I want to make this clear, too. Obviously, I have a progressive lean to my own political views. Do you suspect Dabo Swinney and I think the same way politically? The Clemson football coach? No. The answer, of course, is no. Took his team from Burger King to see Donald Trump. But when you take politics out of the equation, which we should when it comes to the vaccine, you can find common ground. Here's Dabo Swinney yesterday talking about his process of going through and understanding why it was important, not only for himself, but to explain to his players why they should get the vaccine.
And there's a vaccine. You know, we've got very few guys on our team who have not been vaccinated, very few. And and our staff is vaccinated. So that gives you a whole lot more comfort level. So last year we didn't have that. And it's not that you can't get it, but you know, it's like knowing it's freezing outside and you go out there when you dress properly and you got your toboggan on, you got heavy jacket and some thermals, and you know, you can still get a cold, but you're at least doing everything you can to protect yourself. And so I feel a lot better about that as far as the odds of getting it, as you know, vaccinated. And again, you can get it, but and then also, you know, the symptoms hopefully not being as severe if somebody does get COVID. So I'm thankful for that, you know, and it shows that it works. So I'm thankful that we have that as an option, and we didn't have that last year, and you know, hopefully we can mitigate, you know, more throughout the season and continue to, you know, have guys available and ready to play. And then the quarantining, the because of vaccination status and things like that, the protocols, the quarantining, all that stuff. Last year, that was the biggest issue, was if a guy got COVID, it was the contact tracing and all that. And so we're just in a much different space than we were last year.
That's Clemson football coach Dabo Swinney. I mean, again, different end of the political spectrum from what you normally hear on this program. But that shouldn't matter. He's applying logic. He's applying medical advice. And one important thing I thought, too, he mentioned we didn't have this last year, meaning the team and everything they had to go through last year. There will be fans there tomorrow night at Carter-Finley Stadium. Remember, I think the first game there's 25 people. And then by the end of the year, there might have been, I think, 200 by the end of the season. It wasn't much more. 200 or 300, was it? Or did we get to like 2,000?
I thought we got to a little bit more because I went to the Duke game.
And it was about 2,000?
Yeah, it was a couple thousand. Okay. Yeah, yeah. But it was still spread out.
When you go tomorrow night, you're going to feel like, again, not normal, but you're going to feel like, you know what? I missed this. And the thing is, that's what people need to remind themselves about. It is about working in your bathroom. It is about not being able to go to your favorite bar. It is about isolating yourself from your friends and your family. That's what all of this is about. And if you have a way to solve all those things, why wouldn't you do it? So without Joe, we're going to have to go to Abby Labar, Bally Sports, to help us out for Dear Abby. But first, Jonathan Rand is the musically inclined producer of this program. And, you know, Jonathan Rand works hard on Acapella News, and there are certain days where I feel like he has earned the right to go to his greatest hits catalog. What did you come up with in the greatest hits archives for, I believe we're on the eve of the college football season beginning in the Triangle, so I'm going to guess it's Wolfpack related.
Maybe it's Wolfpack related?
Yeah. Guessing.
It's time for Rant 2.
Acapella the News. Well, yeah, you're right. State hosts South Florida tomorrow. We get to see Devin Leary in his, maybe his fifth start, maybe, I think, total for State. So, we're going to go back in the archives to a Los Lonely Boys song, pretty much the only one we know, because every State fan is wondering and hoping that he's great, but how good is Devin?
From the coast, oh yeah, help us get some wins, 'cause we don't want our hope to sink lower than it's ever been. There was four on the depth chart, but then out came Leary. How good is Devin? No more speculation, 'cause it made us weary. How good is Devin? Dave, can you tell me?
I forgot about that one. That was fun.
A nice little ditty setting us up for the Wolfpack and South Florida tomorrow night. And to get us ready for some just general sports knowledge, maybe a couple of curveballs in there too, let's go to Abby Labar, Bally Sports, to help us out with some Dear Abby questions. Abby is brought to us by the John Heaster Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Lillington. Abby, how are you on this fine Wednesday?
Happy week one, guys. I'm just as excited as you are. Loved the acapella. That was fantastic. I've got my wolf pack hands up right now. So let's go, baby. Go pack.
Thanks, Abby.
I kind of feel like at this point, though, Abby, if you say every time to Rand that it's a great song, then you're not really being sincere. I just want to point that out. Like, today was a greatest hit, so it's okay.
It really genuinely always is. I'm so impressed with the fact that you can continue to come up with, like, songs that go along with certain themes. Like, I don't have enough creativity in my brain for that.
Thanks, Abby. I appreciate it. You're my hero.
All right. Let's.
Somebody's got a, what is it? I always mess this up. Not pump the tires, but
yeah, that's right.
Pump the
if Abby ever right? is on and she doesn't say the song is good, that's
then
when
you'll
know. That's when I'll know.
She doesn't have to say it's bad. She just won't say.
She just won't say
great.
Anything, and I'll be like, oh, must have not been a good one today.
Much too nice. Much too nice.
Thanks,
all right,
Red.
Well, we have to check in with Abby because we have Dear Abby questions, and she has the answers. Joe cracked the
dawn. Need to have a new intro for Abby.
We do. We need to get her own music.
Yeah, I'll work on that. My bad, Abby.
Oh, I can get down with that.
Yeah, okay. We'll work on it for next time. First up from Yespiri. Is that how it... look at that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yespiri.
Dear Abby, have you been practicing your pronunciation of Kotkaniemi?
Kotkaniemi?
Is that it?
I think. I have Virginia this weekend, and I've got about 3 or 4 Hawaiian guys on that roster. So after I finish those, then get back to me, Yesbiri. Also, I need to be confirmed that you're actually going to be joining us in Carolina. So welcome, but not really, not quite yet.
What did you think of the move by the Hurricanes to give the offer sheet to Yesbiri Kotkaniemi, the Montreal Canadiens center, third year, same draft class as Andrei Svechnikov, one pick behind him there in the first round. Obviously a talented player, but what were your thoughts, Abby Labar from Bally Sports?
For sure. Well, and he's, even though he's young, you know, he's got the experience as far as what Montreal did in the playoffs last year. And I like it. I think at this point, the Canes wanted to put all their eggs in one basket. So, you know, might as well just do that with a guy that you know that you want that's going to fit here and utilize the cap space that you have to do that instead of, you know, maybe going out and trying to talk to a couple different guys and bring like, you know, maybe one or two more guys lower pay. Like just go all in on somebody that you definitely want and think you can get. I like the move. I think it's good. I don't know. I really don't know why. I mean, I guess because of how much money is on the offer sheet. I think that's really the biggest thing. I guess I could see why people are criticizing it a little bit, but I think it's a good move.
And what was your favorite part of the social media aftermath by the Carolina Hurricanes account?
I loved the Don Waddell quote in the press release. That was essentially the same thing that Montreal tweeted out when they offer sheeted Sebastian Aho. I don't think, like, can you get any better than that?
That's fair. Personally, I enjoyed the red Uno reverse card. That gave me great delight, or as Larry Fedora said, it gave me great pleasure. Abby Labar, Bally Sports, joining us here on the OG. I'm Joe Giglio. Joe Ovis is out today. All right, we have Dear Abby questions. What's next?
Next up from Sam J on Twitter. Dear Abby, wait, you're telling me that Matt Canada has no use for Jalen Samuels? Shut the front door.
So, didn't they just re-sign to the practice squad, though, like an hour after they released him?
Yeah, but that's not the same as being on the 53-man roster, Abby.
Well, I know, but I feel like that's like breaking up with somebody, but not really. Like being like, hey, you know, it's maybe let's just be friends. Like maybe Matt Canada is the one that stormed into Mike Tomlin's office and said, no, you can't fully get rid of him.
It almost feels like you can watch. So Matt Canada,
look out for your Wolf Packers.
I know.
Coach
Matt Canada,
what are you doing?
Matt Canada was the offensive coordinator at NC State for Dave Doran's first 2 years. And J-Sam was underutilized, let's say. The 2015 first 3 years. The 2015 Belk Bowl where NC State got wiped up and down by Mississippi State, where J-Sam literally touched the ball 4 times and scored 2 touchdowns in those 4 touches. That was actually Matt Canada's last game at NC State, too. Then by whatever chance, he ends up being the offensive coordinator of the Steelers this year. Poor J-Sam. The practice squad is better than being out on the street. But obviously, I thought his second year with Pittsburgh, he showed a little bit. Even his rookie year and his second year, I thought he played fairly well for the Steelers. Didn't really get much of a chance last year and now, of course, did not make the 53-man roster. So some people think I don't like Matt Canada. It's not that I don't like him. It's just very predictable. That's all.
You like him because you're going to win some money off of him this year by predicting plays.
Yeah, if gambling becomes legalized in the state of North Carolina and I can bet in-game next play call, I might actually leave my career here in radio to pursue that. I'd have to check with my wife about that, but
ask for forgiveness first? Is that how
that might
works?
Not be one you could practice that.
Yeah.
Like, I live by that.
I don't know.
All right, Rand. Here comes an important culinary question.
Next
I love me some food.
Next up from is that right? V Jazzle V, I guess. Dear Abby, is it acceptable to eat chicken with eggs?
Yeah, like in a breakfast meal?
Yeah, or either way. Like, I don't know if some people are morally opposed to having the chicken and the egg. Is it kind of like eating veal with a steak?
Yeah, but that's different. I mean, chicken and eggs, I feel like, is a common breakfast item. Like, people that don't eat sausage. Yeah, like, people that don't eat sausage. Like, I've been to a place where I got breakfast tacos, and it was the meat was, like, chicken instead of, you know, like, sausage or whatever. But, Okay, here's another one. Who eats chicken and waffles and adds an egg to it? There's a lot of places that do that.
That's common. Yes.
A fire meal, by the way.
Yes. That anything chicken and waffles. Yes.
Chicken and waffles is like top five best food on my list.
Under normal circumstances, I would not take food advice from someone as skinny and in shape as Abby LaBar. But in this case, you do seem to have exquisite taste here, Abby. If you're dropping
waffles.
Chicken and waffles on me, yes. Your bona fides have been qualified. So
I'm the one that puts savory and sweet together often. Like, I could probably drizzle honey on everything. If you haven't had honey on pizza yet, I highly suggest it.
That's actually the secret ingredient for Lily's, the Raleigh pizzeria.
Yeah,
well, it's not secret anymore.
Well, they put honey in their crust.
Ah.
The thing about the chicken and the egg that I kind of came up with was we do eat sushi with fish eggs on sushi sometimes.
That's fish eggs?
Sometimes there's a fish egg on top.
I
so I was just kind of getting at the we don't really normally have the one stage of life combined with the other stage of life. That's all. People might be philosophically opposed to that, but I'm just putting it out there. Just putting it out there. But you make a great point. Not everyone eats pork. So if you want a protein with your eggs,
yep.
I think V Jazzle V is onto something.
I'm really hungry now, by the way. Thanks, guys.
V Jazzle V, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
We don't have enough time to answer that question
here.
Dear Abby, but perhaps we could save that for next week.
There you go.
Abby LaBar, Bally Sports, joining us here on the OG for Dear Abby. Abby, or Rand, what's next?
Next up from Bo Osborne Fulmer. It's a fun combo. Dear Abby, which faded national power do you feel most sorry for?
Ooh, that's a good one. Can I say Florida State?
Yes, you can add Florida State.
I think Florida State, because just things just haven't been the same for a little while there. And there's so many good schools in Florida and all the recruiting in Florida, and I just feel sorry for what, and not to mention the pregame show that they put on down there in Tallahassee. There's so many elements that could make that program be great again, and I feel a little sorry for what's been happening in the fans down there.
But they have a national title in 2013, and they made the playoff in 2014. I feel like the answer here has to be Nebraska. I watched that game, the week zero game, the national game. They lose to Illinois. And Scott Frost, I mean, he's the prodigal son. This is like the classic example of can you go home again? And I actually feel bad for him because he turned down Florida when he was at Central Florida. And his next job will not be – he will have to rework his image. And he's my age, so I have a little bit of soft spot for people who are 46. And ones that I remember their playing career, of course, too. He led Nebraska to a national title. So, I don't know, Red. I'm with you on Florida State. I wish they were better.
Yeah.
But I feel like they've been competitive, at least recently.
Fair. If you're talking about, the longest time period of sadness, then I guess you could go that route.
All right, Rand, what else we got?
Next up from State Fan Number 1. Dear Abby, if Sam Howell is not vaccinated, will that hurt his NFL draft stock?
I just hope we're still not having these conversations when the NFL draft comes around. Like, that's my answer for that. Like, can we? Yeah, I think I'm just going to stick with that there.
Do
you think?
Yeah, there are a lot of NC State fans who are curious about the vaccination status of Sam Howell. He answered some questions, I believe it was last week, and he gave it the patented "I'm not going to answer," which I think in our off season, what we found out is most people who don't want to answer are unvaccinated, but we don't know for sure what his status is. You would think, though, after, and I know Bill Belichick said the opposite today. I think that was more of a smokescreen than anything else. But you have to figure by the draft and all of the research that NFL teams do. I mean, I'm not saying they're not going to draft them. I'm just saying, like, it could be like a situation this year where there were five quarterbacks, and say you're the 49ers in that situation where you liked Trey Lance, Mac Jones, and Justin Fields. And if one of them you knew under, you know, the situation and what it would be in 2022, you might look at that and go, well, that might be a deciding factor.
For sure.
Honestly,
what's happened today too. So that's, I mean, with the way everything's been playing out this week in the NFL, it'll be interesting to follow, but hopefully we're not having these conversations as much, but I feel like we might be.
Well, I feel like too, we are hyper sensitive to COVID issues affecting an outcome of a season because of what happened to NC State baseball.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're in New York or if you're in California or somewhere else, it may not have been a story that you paid any attention to, right?
I loved when Elliot, you guys were talking about it recently, Elliot Avent went and spoke to the NC State football team. Like you said, if it's not directly impacted or if that message is not directly conveyed, then yeah, how do you know until it hits you? Or I think that's a great perspective.
You would think all of the ACC teams were pretty crystal clear on the potential outcome. And I believe we'll see all of the ACC teams say they get to 85%. I say because I don't, Abby, I struggle with this concept of trusting schools and even the conferences. Because remember, NC State was kicked out of the College World Series because it was an event run by the NCAA. In college football this year, there's a little bit of an honor system going on here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not like there's a database. My wife had carpal tunnel surgery last week. And she had to bring her vaccination card. And I was like, anybody can make one of these things. I'm like, are you being serious right now? There's not like a database that has people who have been vaccinated? Oh, no. No, it's just this little plastic.
Yeah, do you know how long college students have been using fake IDs?
Yes. That's exactly my point. College campuses particularly. You know, like I know some people are like, you should have the show proof of vaccination to get into a stadium to watch a game. And I'm like, guys, I stenciled my New Jersey license in 1993. Like, come on.
Joe.
I know.
Joe, you are just, that's bad.
Man, 2-minute timeout for you. No statute of limitations.
I was
going to
say, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, probably.
We're approaching 30 years from that.
So you might be in the clear now.
It'll be all right. We have one more for Abby, or what do we got?
We got a couple more if we can squeeze them in. Okay. We'll see.
Whoa, everyone's on the Dear Abby
team. I know. They're excited.
That's weird, Abby, when it's just me and no Ovius, and there's a lot of questions, and they're actually, like, really good, too. That's a coincidence.
We're going to have to do some research on that.
Alanis Morissette would sing a song about that.
She would. Next up, from Emma Jean. That's an interesting name. Dear Abby, what's the best Bishop Sycamore joke or meme that you have seen?
Is it too soon to say the breaking Cam Newton to sign with Bishop Sycamore?
I did like that one. Yeah.
That was good. I liked that one. I thought that one was funny.
My personal favorite was there was a tweet showing Manti Te'o, the former Notre Dame linebacker, being interviewed. And they inserted the quote, "I once had a girlfriend that went to Bishop Sycamore." That's pretty good.
The internet is ruthless.
Manti Te'o thinks that like the statute of limitations is gone on him. No, and he's like, no, come on, guys.
The catfish story will last forever. Abby Labar, Bally Sports, thank you so much for participating in Dear Abby this week. We are looking forward to next week. Where's your football game this week before we let you go?
I have two football games this week, actually. So you can catch me on ACC Network for Wake Forest ODU on Friday night. And then I will be heading up to Charlottesville, Virginia for UVA and some William & Mary on Valley Sports on Saturday. So it'll be a fun weekend.
Super Red, Abby Labar, we will talk to you next Wednesday. Enjoy your games this weekend. You're the best, Red. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
My next guest.
No.
Tomorrow, aren't you doing
the morning,
show?
In the morning, I'll be there. By the time noon hits?
Don't confuse me now. West Durham, ACC Network, the Packer and Durham show will be emanating from the Murphy Center.
Somewhere over there, yes.
Tomorrow morning.
Somewhere, yes.
So.
Yeah. By the way, nice to see you.
Good to see you, man.
What the hell's going on with your neck? Rand, I can't let this go.
I know. I know. Talk about it.
I come in here and you're on the injured list.
I'm playing through the pain.
Okay.
It's not actually pain.
Radio's just harder than newspaper writing, isn't it?
Oh, let me tell you.
He's not on the pup list yet, but he's getting there.
It's every day, Wes. I'm not sure anyone told me that.
IR designated to return.
I got a slot for him in my fantasy lineup, so he's fine.
Yeah.
I'm playing through. Don't you worry.
All right. Yes, we're doing the show at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. 7 to 10, somewhere on the concourse side of the Murphy Center is what I'm being told.
Okay. But your actual assignment this week, I believe, is Pittsburgh and UMass.
Yes, 4 o'clock. We are the middle game. Roddy Jones, Larisha Harris, and I are middle game of the triple header. Starts at noon, Colgate at Boston College. Loss for Colgate. UMass at Pitt. Loss for UMass. And the nightcap is Northern Illinois at the Georgia Institute of Technology in Midtown Atlanta under the lights at Grant Field.
Last one should be interesting.
I don't know. Northern Illinois 0-4 last year in the COVID-ridden MAC. I'm still trying to sort out. I think Georgia Tech should win the game, but Georgia Tech can't do the Georgia Tech game things they were doing last year, which is lots of penalties, you know, missing red zone chances, poor kicking, you know, stuff like that.
Let's actually start there because I had this conversation with Brandon Bishop for my new NC State podcast, Pack Therapy. And that is...
What an appropriate name.
And that is...
Sorry.
What should we extrapolate from last year? Because there were certain teams, NC State, Boston College in particular, they both handled the pandemic really well.
I throw Pittsburgh in there.
Pitt? Yeah. Anyone who got their full schedule in, I think you have to give credit to, right?
Well, Pitt and Georgia Tech lost games at the end.
But then there were teams like Louisville and Florida State who were a disaster. Now, I am under the belief that
not as many as were in the MAC where, you know, you had 4, 2, 3, 5. I mean, the MAC was all over the place.
Yeah. But so. I'm under the belief that we can't simply write off teams like Florida State and Louisville because of the circumstances from last year.
I would not disagree with that. I think that, there's two schools of thought on this question. How do you process last year in relationship to this year? You can take Dave Clawson at Wake Forest theory, which is that all the players coming back, all the kids that fought the hurdles and the distractions and the chaos to play, potentially could make this one of the best years college football's ever seen. Okay? You can take that stance. The other side of the house is teams that Tennessee, who put 3 dozen players. I'm joking, but it was 2 dozen. 2 dozen players in the portal. Massive roster turnover. Made a coaching change based on outside influences, not inside productivity. So where's Tennessee to be in all of this? I just got off the phone with Walt Bell, who used to work for Larry Fedora at Carolina, who's now in his 3rd year as the head coach at UMass, who, by the way, shut their program down in August only to come back in early September, say they were going to play, and then play 4 games in October over 7 weeks, played at Georgia Southern, lost, came home, and had to quarantine 7 days in a hotel, no practice, no nothing, then played after an open date because of the quarantine another week later. Lost, came back, had to quarantine 5 more days to play a 3rd game, and then when they came back from the 3rd game, they were able to play a 4th game on a week-to-week schedule.
Yeah, I feel like there are more examples of that from last season than you do see with an NC State or a BC, who you have to credit them because there was an isolation involved there. Like, you really couldn't have – I mean, we knew students weren't on campus. I think maybe they were at BC.
Well, UMass – no. UMass had 10% enrollment. BC had nobody.
Other than their football team. And then the basketball team.
And also, that's why they were able to keep readily, for the most part, a pretty decent return against the virus, right?
Yeah.
I mean, BC was able to get through the season until the very end, and then they decided not to play in a bowl. Pitt decided not to play in a bowl. You know, that kind of thing. I still think about the free year the NCAA gave out, and I can't get past that.
Doesn't Pitt have 16 super seniors?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Well, no, Pitt doesn't have that many. We ran that list on the show the other day.
Did you?
Of the super seniors. There are 3 schools in double figures.
That That I think changes the equation a little bit.
Well,
this
the
season,
NCAA mismanaged the entire mismanaged recruiting. Tom Luganville and Dave Clawson, in my opinion, speak more eloquently about this than I ever can, because Luke sees it from how it impacts the kids being recruited now. Dave speaks of it as, are we shortchanging people we've made promises to?
The way I look at it, particularly in NC State's case, right? Mm-hmm. You have Emeka Emezi, a receiver who would not be in the NFL, probably would have gotten a training camp invite and would not have made a 53-man roster. He decides to come back because he had a productive year last year, has a chance to have another productive this year, and who knows, he might impress somebody.
That's exactly right.
North Carolina has a starter on their offensive line and a starter at linebacker. That those are the kind of positions where you might see them lose a game to Virginia Tech, and we'd all attribute it to the running backs. But really, when you have that veteran presence that they'll have now, North Carolina specifically, we could even use Clemson. Mm-hmm. Like, we saw what a mess Clemson was without James Skalski in the second half of that playoff game.
Sure.
And
did.
Not being able to get lined up. Now, they would have had a full offseason. Clemson's recruiting's fine, don't get me wrong.
They're not hurting.
But that's a big bonus for a program like Clemson that's used to losing players early rather than keeping one like Skalski now for a sixth year.
Absolutely.
That's
and
big
Nolan,
time for
And
them.
By the way, Nolan Turner.
And Nolan Turner, their safety, because, again, he didn't play in the second half of that game either.
That's right.
And they were I thought, I want to get into Clemson.
They were mortal against Ohio
State.
Yeah,
I want to get into Clemson, but I want to save that for the other side of this break.
But Ohio State was also sitting dead red on playing Clemson after what had happened the year before.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
This is me trying to go to a break and me trying to tease to the break. Mr. TV radio guy, honestly.
Rand, what do you think?
Yeah, he's flexing right now.
I mean,
he's just excited we're on time.
West Durham stepping on me over here. ACC Network.
It's 10 after the hour. What kind of clock you guys on here?
Got to get to 11. I got to read a promo.
Oh,
do I have to explain all of this like a Bond villain to you? West Durham, ACC Network, joining me in studio here. Kind of him.
For a while.
To spend a little extra time. And, of course, Wes joins us thanks to J.E. Womble & Sons. J.E. Womble & Sons, if we don't have it, you don't need it.
That's it. Boom. Absolutely right.
I'm like a radio professional now.
You know, the professionals usually talk about it too.
I was gonna say, maybe
that's
not
exactly
halfway
right.
through the show.
Yeah.
Maybe not
tell,
dump the Gatorade.
Tell everybody
just
how
quite
good
yet.
You are when you're on the radio, Joe. It's part of the job. You have to tell everybody, hey, by the way, I'm really good at
by
this.
By the way, I've learned how to tie my radio shoes. So before the break, we were talking about Clemson and how their season ended last year in the playoff.
Right.
And I feel like you and I differ on this slightly.
Okay.
I attribute to Clemson's loss to they looked bad up front. They got pushed
offensively,
both
oh,
sides
I don't disagree with
of
that.
The ball.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, are there teams on Clemson's schedule this year capable of taking advantage of some of those potential flaws if they carry over from one year to the next? Because
I'm going to say this. I have doubts about Saturday night. My biggest concern Saturday night for Clemson, Saturday night against Georgia, is, and I've asked Eric McClain this week, I've asked Tom Luganville this week, I'm concerned. I want to know what Clemson's going to look like in the run game.
I believe it's going to be DJ Uiagalelei that we see a heavy dose of.
Well, Tom Luganville thinks we're going to get the reincarnate of Cam Newton.
Yeah. I believe it'll be almost like Deshaun Watson in case of emergency break glass. Like, you knew when it was a big game, Deshaun Watson ran a lot. And I believe they will use Uiagalelei the same way. He is a tank. A tank.
I'll tell you, in a coat and tie.
Yeah, at the kickoff.
Ominous.
With the big Cinco chain around his neck.
I'll tell you something. Like, you were shaking hands with a hitman. That is a big dude.
I mean, is it fair that they've had now Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, and now Big Cinco? Is that fair? Like, it feels like the ACC, I know they are looking
in terms
of
Watson and Lawrence, the key element is Clemson had them and the Dogs didn't, which is all I need.
Both Georgia guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uiagalelei, the real curiosity I have, and I really wasn't thinking Cam Newton until Luke said it today on our show, is that I really think he's got more weapons on the perimeter than Cam Newton had. He's got far more weapons in the throw game than Cam Newton had. And I'm not so sure his offensive line, even though we're questioning it, is not better than what Auburn had.
That's one of Bomani Jones's favorite stats about that Auburn team and Cam Newton, is that I believe there were no other pros on the offensive side with him.
They're pros on Clemson's offensive side.
Yeah, I
and including maybe, the one wearing number one.
And I was going to say,
he's getting ready to play in his first college game.
That's where I'm getting to.
That's a pro.
With Clemson's skill positions. You're saying they've reloaded, but last year I was not impressed with their receivers. They didn't have Justin Ross last year. He had a neck injury.
Yeah, okay, but
it's Clemson's standard. I'm not judging them by.
Yeah, but Cornell Powell ended up having a career year. EJ Williams emerged for them.
He was okay. EJ Williams played well at the end of the season. He did.
But Clemson has, and again, forgive greatness in some respects, and I'm not defending Clemson here, but you have to be able to survive the lull, right?
Yeah.
Okay, when you do what Clemson's doing and Alabama's
17
doing.
17 would have been their last lull.
That's right.
Yeah.
So when you get to where Clemson is now, when Frank Ladson and Joseph Ngata don't deliver the goods you think they're going to deliver.
Yes, those were the two players I was thinking of specifically.
You have to be able to survive it. So how do you survive it? Well, you throw a Joe out there. You throw EJ Williams out there. You lean Amari Rodgers into much more productivity than Amari Rodgers probably thought he was ever going to get. And, oh, by the way.
And that was injury-related.
It was.
His career.
A year off.
His path. Yeah.
Off the ACL. Braden Gallagher. Now, see, here's the other thing about – let me tell you, the secret weapon for Clemson against Georgia is going to be Braden Galloway, was it J.C. Chalk, and Jalen Lay, the three tight ends.
Yeah.
They got, and by the way, they're not even playing Burning Stone or whatever the kid's name is, who's like another beast of a five-star that hangs out over there. But I'll go back to their ability to run the ball. They have not run the ball clean in 18 months, in my opinion.
10-2 since the start of the 2016 season against SEC opponents, with the losses being Alabama and LSU.
Correct.
So I'm not worried about Clemson. I am more worried about Miami against Alabama. Like, what should we realistically expect from Miami? And West Durham from the ACC Network joining us here on the OG. I am Joe Giglio. Joe Ovius is out the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, De'Aaron King tore his ACL in their bowl game.
We have medical miracles now.
I know. And I know Adrian Peterson broke that curve a couple of years ago.
Dude, I'm telling you, I don't know what goes on in that deal anymore. I thought, you know,
willing to test it. Like, I don't want to go to tear my ACL and figure out what happens.
You're already beat up. I look at it like this. I think King and Miami, I don't know that they can win the game Saturday in Atlanta, but I think they can make it interesting. I think they can take it into the final 15 minutes.
Feel like there may be an ACC Network buzzer behind your ear.
No.
Prodding
no,
you to suggest
no,
that Nick
not.
Saban and
but,
Manny Diaz.
But wait a second. Tell
can
me.
Can I have a competitive contest? Okay.
Well, can you also sit there and say your confidence level with Alabama? Look, I know they recruit, go down the street and, hey, over there, you come here, you know, like Oprah handing out cars. I mean, I know Alabama can recruit, and I know they're great players, and I know he grinds that program. People have no idea what the day-to-day is like there, okay? It's a grind.
Just look at the turnover on the coaching staff.
Correct. Yes. But it's a lot of inventory they're trying to replace this year.
I agree.
And
that's why Oklahoma's
my pick to
win the national
Bryce Young may be seven figures of NIL, but he may not be seven figures throwing it.
I know who's seven figures deep. That's Chris Lee over at the WRAL studios.
Oh, nice. Look at that.
Chris Lee. How are you today, sir?
Seven figures. I don't know if I have that.
Well,
Bryce Young may have seven figures and may not be able to throw it across the street. We don't know yet.
Chris, you have seven figures in positivity.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I love the way you put that. How are you guys doing today?
We couldn't be better. Could not be better. Ovius is gone the rest of the week. So I'm going to need you to get
late.
On the Giglio
and we're still
schedule.
Late, Chris Lee. We're still late.
No, we were not late today.
It was 24.
I was late. I had a meeting
that
went long. And so, I had to get out the meeting and come here so I could spend some time with you guys. But I'm glad to hear that Wes is here in person, though. So what's going on, Wes? How are you doing today?
Chris Lee, I am hanging out in Raleigh Wood, It's my second trip to the Triangle in less than a week, by the way.
Oh, nice.
And I'm we're going to be over there at Carter Finley Stadium at Murphy Center for Packer and Durham tomorrow morning at 7 bells.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then I'll be on a plane to Pittsburgh. Easy come, easy go, boys.
It's the life of a superstar.
No. We're good. Yeah. We're good.
Chris Lee, I need you to sit tight for 1 second because I need to give away some tickets. Can you do that for me?
Yeah, do it.
All right. I want to congratulate Pete Zander from Durham. He was our winner yesterday in the Need To Got To tickets to see Duke against NC&T. And this is now your chance to win a pair of tickets to see ECU and South Carolina on September 11th. Here's what you need to do. Text the keyword PIRATE, there's no S, P-I-R-A-T-E, PIRATE, to 919-860-5326. Text the word PIRATE to 919-860-5326. We will choose one random winner from our entries and then award the free tickets to you. And you will qualify for a trip to see UNC play at Notre Dame on October 30th. 99.9 The Fan's Need To, Got To is presented by Ting Internet. Fiber connects us all and supported this week by Newcomb and Company. Your comfort is our business. Now, Chris Lee, what is coming up today on the Big Cinco?
All right, man. Hey, first off, Jaleel, you're getting really good at this stuff, man. So
Don't. Chris, have you been listening to the show?
No, Chris. But Chris is Chris. Seven figures deep in positivity. See?
That's fair.
Good vibes only.
Only the good vibes, man. Yeah. I'm just saying, this is good. I love it. So we'll be talking about the game that West Durham is in town for tomorrow. We'll hear from some NC State players. Yesterday, of course, we heard from Cade Fortin, who used to play for Carolina, now with USF. We'll hear from some NC State players today and their excitement on the game. Also, just having fans in. You know, last year, of course, they didn't have fans or just a few family members in the stands. Now they're expecting to have hopefully 60,000 plus at Carter Finley. We'll also hear, we'll preview the other big game that's happening in our state, probably arguably the biggest game that's happening in our state tomorrow between Appalachian State and ECU. We'll preview
Look out.
That wasn't a slight to...
No. Appalachian State and ECU, look out. I'm serious.
Chris, you tried your best. I listened to that Cade Fortin teleconference, the Zoom call. Man, you tried your best to get something out of him, like anything. And every answer that he gave us was like, we're focused on this game and we got to worry about us. And I'm like, dude, come on, man. Just tell us one story. That's all we're looking for here.
I think we may have lost Chris.
Chris Lee did a great job trying to get something out of Cade Fortin.
What happened to...
You could check that out on WRL, or it's on WRL SportsFan.com as well.
This was not me cutting Chris off because of the excessive
digital
patch or positivity.
Oh, we had a digital deal over there.
Oh, yeah, here in person today. We've had a little Opal hiccups. That's neither
Opal.
Here.
Okay.
Neither here nor there. Let's get back to Miami because...
I'm just saying it could get to the fourth quarter. Now,
that game's in Atlanta?
Yep.
Okay.
Mercedes-Benz with the roof open.
Now, here's the thing about Miami. They typically care when the lights are on, and they definitely care early in the season as well. I worry about Miami when it gets to later in the season. And Miami, since joining the ACC, has had problems at Virginia, Duke. North Carolina seems to get them every other year or whatever. It ends up working out with North Carolina.
Right.
Or when Carolina gets them, they get them pretty good. And vice versa. I mean, Miami's had some games where they've gotten Carolina pretty good. But it seems to me when you have Miami's full attention, when the lights are on, you usually get their best effort.
I don't disagree with that. I think what you're going to find out Saturday is if they're going to be able to answer some of the questions, especially the ones at linebacker on defense, okay? We all know that, Russo, Jalen Phillips, Quincy Roche, we know those are good players last year. But we also know they had guys there too. I mean, how does that Miami team look defensively? And what does Manny Diaz calling plays mean? What does that mean now in a game? I got to be honest, I'm kind of pumped for Rhett Lashley. Charleston Rambo to create space for Mike Harley.
There's the transfer portal maybe kicking in again for Miami, because Derek King they got from Houston, Charleston Rambo they get from Oklahoma.
Yeah, and by the way, Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley, I love Lincoln Riley as a coach, but you're letting Charleston Rambo go out the door?
Might be an indication of their depth, no?
No, might be.
Who knows with the portal?
But the other part about it is nobody's talking about Cameron Harris. Nobody's talking about Don Chaney, Jalen Knighton, these kids that ran the rock pretty well. And we're talking about five starters in the offensive line, Jillio, basically for the third year in a row.
I hope Don Chaney's hair is perfect.
That's Lon Chaney's hair.
I got it wrong.
And it's Warren Zevon, Werewolves of London.
Don
nice Cherry, try.
You thinking like Kane's guy?
No, he's thinking Don Chaney, the former Celtic who wore number 12.
No. West Durham from
he's
the
actually
ACC
thinking
network.
Lon Chaney.
The song. And his
Werewolves
hair
of London.
Tom Cruise.
Warren Zevon.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
West Durham ACC Network joining me here today.
Put that
on
one on the
OG.
OG scoreboard, retro.
People
whatever.
Will definitely be in for that one. Yeah. OBS is out the rest of the week. Jonathan Rand is the producer of this program.
I got to come to work for Capital because apparently you can just drop and go.
Joe's got a lot of vacation.
That's how radio works, man. Oh, dude. You mean, oh, yeah. Obvious.
I'm curious about this nugget that I saw on the Twitters today, Wes.
Okay.
If I made you guess, the three teams who most people have bet on for their season totals, the first two I'll give you, Michigan State, who was terrible last year, but
what's the number?
It was their worst winning percentage since 1982. So people are on Michigan State
at
5.5, over 5.5. 86% of the money on that is on Michigan State to go over.
Okay.
Notre Dame, who was 10-2 last season, you'll remember, they started 10-0. 79% of the money is on Notre Dame to go over their 8.5 win total.
Really?
This from Darren Ravel, though, on the FanDuel site. The team with the third most action is
Carolina.
Old Dominion.
Excuse
me? Old Dominion, for some reason, at FanDuel, Old Dominion's total opened at 5.5. Old Dominion didn't play football last year.
Yeah, Dr. Wood Selig, the AD, shut him down.
Old Dominion went 1-11 in 2019.
The year before, Bobby Wilder was fired.
And now they have a new coach, Ricky Rain,
yeah,
who hasn't coached in a game but has been the coach since 2019.
Correct.
They open against...
Was Bobby Wilder's last year 19?
Yeah.
It was.
They open against Wake Forest as a 31.5-point underdog.
Yeah.
They have five teams on their schedule who had a winning record last year, including Liberty, Buffalo, Marshall, Louisiana Tech, and Florida Atlantic. So
that's five L's right there, plus Wake is six.
It's like, what? Actually, there was so much action on Old Dominion to go under. It's now at 4. That's how much money has been put in on Old Dominion. So
on the under?
On the under.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the total has now been adjusted from 5.5 to 4. Now, they do have DJ Mack, former Central Florida quarterback, as a transfer.
Okay.
And they like South Florida, who we'll see Thursday night at Carter Finley Stadium. They've kind of dipped into the portal and brought in
South
some
Florida's been living in the portal. They were living there when Charlie Strong was coaching.
Yeah. So I'm curious your thoughts and some of your homework on South Florida, because they didn't win a game in the American Athletic last year.
No.
Jeff Scott, I don't have, even though I cover the ACC and have seen Clemson play a bazillion times, I don't know if he was calling the plays. I don't know if Tony Elliott was calling the plays.
Tony Elliott was calling the plays.
So I don't know exactly what we know about Jeff Scott.
Well, first of all, I think that
their coach? He's going into his second year now.
He is, and he took the job as Clemson was going to the national championship game against LSU, right?
So he was a co-coordinator.
With Tony Elliott.
With Tony Elliott.
Yeah, when that whole deal kind of surfaced in the And Clemson's handled that stuff really well. That's the thing about them. Their staff continuity is amazing. I mean, when you think about it.
It's the opposite of Alabama.
Yeah. So here's the thing to know about Jeff Scott, and here's kind of the thing to know about South Florida. The move by the artist formerly known as the Brahma Bulls, now just Bulls, South Florida has been in the long game of football for not terribly long, but they're playing the long game. They had the Jim Leavitt moment. We all remember that.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, it's been a carousel since Jim Leavitt left. you know,
a fairly decent coaches.
Correct.
Skip Holtz, Charlie Strong, Willie Taggart.
Skip Holtz did a good job. Willie Taggart did a good job there, went to Oregon off that job. Charlie Strong, man, it was a meh, quite frankly.
Well, he went 10-2 with Taggart's players.
And then bottomed out.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm here to tell you that despite their successes, I think they're in the long game. And I almost think Michael Kelly, our friend who used to be the deputy commissioner of the ACC, sees it as the long game. And that's why Jeff Scott was the hire, was for the long game. So they're going to be competitive tomorrow night. You know this. We all hear it. It's not coach speak in this situation. There are dozens of players within 35 miles of their campus.
Yes.
Okay? He's made that a priority. They are transfer portal friendly. In other words, they are a situation where they understand, hey, look, we can get this done.
If we can get an immediate upgrade, we're going to do that.
We're going to do that.
Yeah.
Because that helps shorten the long game. And I think coaches have to be aggressive to that. But I think Jeff's put together a decent staff. I think that the American is a tricky league. I mean, for all the times you look at UConn and look at some of these other people, there's still one or two in there that can play, yeah. i.e. Cincinnati, i.e. Memphis.
Yep.
You know,
Houston, Temple. I mean, Tulsa, there's some weak Central Florida there. Yeah. You know,
so it's not just, hey, why didn't Jeff Scott win in 10 games? So I think NC State tomorrow night will be challenged, but I also think this is the NC State team that it's kind of ready to prove it. And I've gotten that sense now from the summer on. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens. I'm excited to see what happens tomorrow night, and I'm really excited to see what happens a week from Saturday.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 6 p.m., and you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.